Let's get ready to receive the word of God in earnest. Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner, the seer into, of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So God, let it read us. Let your word just go ahead and read us. Teach us, lead us, guide us. We come to, according to Matthew 10, we come to learn of you. We need to learn of you. We know enough about ourselves. We need to learn of you. So help us, God, that as we learn of you, we will learn what to do. And God, through the doing, bless your people. Let us not just be hearers only, deceiving ourselves, but make us those doers of the word and doers of the work. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. I know, Satan, you come immediately to steal the word. You're canceled. Can't do it here. I resist you, you must flee. These proceedings are no longer a part of your plans, so we cancel you in every way in Jesus' name. I decree that this word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everyone said, amen. Let's give somebody a high five, and then you may be seated. Just tell them you're about to get it. You are about to get it. I'm telling you, you're about to get it. Daddy done caught up with you. Papa is coming in the room. Yep, daddy's coming. That's my mom with eighth grade education from Louisiana. Boy, when Roll Belt get here, she didn't have her teeth in. When Roll Belt get here, he gonna take care of you, boy. Now that's after she was trying to whip me. And we had those old army bunk beds, old metal things with the wire. You know what I'm talking about. This is a military lady right here. Yeah. And what we would do, my brother and I, we would run under that bed and hang upside down like bats. And she'd be trying to get in. Boy, I tell you, my father's name was Roosevelt. When Roosevelt get here, he gonna take care. What a sweet woman. I miss my mom. So today, Roosevelt's coming in. Papa's coming in. I'm talking about God the Father, not my dad. God the Father's coming in to take care of, straighten out some stuff with the family. We have been studying, what do I owe thee? I mean, come on now. You didn't do all this by yourself. How did you get where you are? Have you looked at your baby pictures lately? That'll humble you right there. Just take a look at the baby pictures. Find one with diapers on. Or a bottle in your face, crawling around on the floor. How did you get to where you are? It's because of God. Say, because of God. So for all that he's done for you up to this point, here you are 42, 53, 69, 73, 85, 90, 95, 100. Whatever you are, God helped you to get to where you are. But my question, when we're talking about this family stuff, because we've been here dealing with the family, is what in the world causes God's kids to go prodigal? Why would we go prodigal? What makes God's children go prodigal? I don't know. But I got a few ideas, three different areas that I'm going to talk about a little bit today. Is I believe that it's tied to not having a thankful heart. Now, I mentioned that before, but we got to dig into this because we're going back to the prodigal son. We're going back to Luke 15, verse number 17. We're going back there. We got to finish this off because we got to deal with the whole family. Because you got the prodigal son who left out of the house because he wasn't thankful that his father had given him all the stuff. He just wouldn't spend it all up. Just immature. Sometimes we just do stuff because we're immature. You can be 99 years old, still immature. You know, I pastor people of all ages. And I've been doing this for almost 40 years. So, you know, you see some stuff and you start seeing patterns. And you can be able to understand the patterns of people after a while because basically there's not very many differences in people. You can usually see categories of how they live or what they do or whatever. And some people you'll never change. And that's why, like, for example, I just shut the offering off because I ain't no sense in talking to people that ain't going to give. You know, you sit there and waste your time talking about, you know, you're going to be blessed. They don't want that. They don't want it. It's like tonight's service. Don't bring nobody up here that ain't ready to let go of them demons. I ain't going to wrestle with nobody. You want them demons, go to hell with them. But if you want to get delivered, you're going to have to work at it anyhow. It won't just happen overnight. Because as soon as you get delivered, the devil is looking for a clean place to come back into anyhow with six of his friends. So it ain't no walking apart. You're going to live this life right. You're going to have to do something, Hoss. Everything doesn't come on a silver platter in the kingdom. You got to use your faith. You got to work the work. You got to work that word. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about working the work. Anyhow, a thankful heart will help you a whole lot. That's one of the things. Now, there's two reasons why you should have a thankful heart. That's one of the three things that we're going to deal with, this thankful heart. That's all we'll get to today, probably. But there's two reasons why you should be thankful. Number one, and I'll give it to you in scripture form. Please write this down. It was done when he said it. See, what you're looking for was done when he said it. Literally. And see, this book is old. This Bible is old. He said it a long time ago. It was done when he said it. You know, God's not shipping no new healing here for you. That was done when he said it 2,000 years ago. There ain't no new salvation being created. You're using the same thing that was on the cross 2,000 years ago. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. That's in the Old Testament. That is thousands of years old. That's thousands of years old. It ain't nothing new. It's new to you. See, and that's how people are. Sometimes, you know, you just give them something old. It's new to them. And see, it's new to you to be healed. It's new to you to get into prosperity. It's new to you. And so what we have to do, watch this now, is renew our minds consistently. Romans 10, 12. Or 12, 2, rather. You got to renew your mind. So you got to get your mind thinking in a new way. Let that sink in. It was done when he said it. If you can catch him saying it, you got it. All you got to do is add your faith to it. I'll say it again. If you can catch him saying it in his word and put your faith with it, you got it. Ain't hard. See, what happens is we just don't believe what we hear. And see, up in this church, you know, I quoted so many scriptures at offering time, people got sick of it and left out of the room. I watch people. I'm like a hawk. I watch people. Sometimes they don't think I'm watching. I watch you. Because I played the same games, too, when I was immature. But see, you got to get to the point where you just sit there and take it because you need it. So the key reason why we should be thankful in my heart, the way God gave it to me, is that it was done when he said it. Go with me to Isaiah 46 and 10. This is a principle that I want to give to you. See, because God is not surprised about anything that's happening in your life. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Isaiah 46 and 10. This is the personality of God. This is the modus operandi. This is how God operates. He don't worry. I just went over that scripture not too long ago, but he doesn't worry. And that's why, as his child, you shouldn't worry. Now, one thing that did happen to me after that 6.5 years of hell I went through, I don't worry about nothing. Because if God allows it, ain't nothing you can do about it anyhow. But see, you got to know that God's will is not for you to be able to be destroyed. Some of us think that God is our enemy, that he wants to take from you. He wants to make you do things. God ain't thinking about you if you ain't thinking about him. We think we're all that. I'll make God mad. I won't tithe. No, you're just going to put a curse on yourself. Declaring the end from the beginning. That's how God operates. If he says it, it's done when he said it. And it doesn't matter. Okay, I'll use this example because it's physically in your face. These musicians, and there's more. We're missing about 6 of them. I'm believing God for trumpets, French horns. We got another violin player. I'm believing for you know, I loved oboe when I was in orchestra in high school. I'm believing for woodwinds. I'm believing for much more. We're going to run out of space. We were talking yesterday. We're going to have to pull the platform out probably, do a little lip down there. Because, see, God told me they're in your church already. Now, where are they? They're sitting like they were sitting before. You wouldn't know they're here. But if I would say, all the orchestra or all the band, would you please come to the platform? They were here the whole time. And see, your answer has been there all the time. You don't have a problem that God hasn't already solved. Because it was done when he said it. All God has to do, watch this now, is say it. All you need to do is believe it. If you believe it and stop trying to say it, if you just use your faith instead of using your mouth for destruction, see, because we destroy things as soon as somebody tries to tell us, this is going to happen really good for you. Well, you know my uncle went through, shut up. Oh, so-and-so just died of that same thing they diagnosed me with. Well, then keep talking like that and die. And see, here's the thing about it. It's not a guarantee that you're going to be able to go forward with what God said if you don't use faith for it. You can be a nice Christian and not even benefit from what God says. You got to work the work. I'm trying to put some work in your hands now. I'm trying to get your hand to the plow. You can't. This is not magic. This ain't no magic thing where you come in, even tonight, come in, Pastor Shorter, if his shadow hits me, if your shadow hits you, you're just going to have a shadow hitting you. That's all. Unless God's doing something with the shadow. You got to work the work, because even after you get delivered, get set free, you got to learn how to be able to keep that thing. It's one thing to get married. It's another thing to stay married. I mean, the getting married costs a little something, but the stay married costs more. More of your time, more of your attention, more forgiveness. You know, sometimes, no, you don't love her. You just like her. And then other times, he don't like you. He just loves you. You go from situation where I don't love you no more. That's all right, but I still like you. I don't like you, but I do love you. Vacillating back and forth. But the main thing is don't throw in the towel on the relationship. But God declares the end from the beginning. And he doesn't care what happens in between. When we first got married, I don't know where I got this from, because I wasn't being taught the word of faith. But when we first got married, I brought my wife into our dining room area, I believe it was. I sat her down. I said, Kathy, I'm going to write this word out. Divorce. And I handed it to her. I said, this is the last time that you will see me say this word. And I took it and I balled it up. Did I not? I said, I will never use that word again. 52 years later. Oh, there was opportunities. You live through life, you're going to have opportunity to do anything. There's thoughts, but you got to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that ain't obeying Christ, because Christ hates divorce. Now, that doesn't convict anybody that's had one. Because some of you didn't get married because God put you together. What God puts together, let no man put asunder. That should have been asunder before it was under. Because God never put that one together. You put that one together. The booze put that one together. The weed, too much weed that day. You know what I'm talking about. You just feeling pretty brass that day and said, let's get married. Let's elope, whatever that is. God does not see an end even from the beginning. There are things that God, and I'm going to use this. There's things that God has spoken to me just like he spoke to me in July about this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to show you the prayer note on this. Because see, when God talks to me, I take prayer notes. I date it and I time it and I write it down with my prayer notes. I'll tell you exactly the day and what he said. There's launch podcasts. They're all over the world. Bring Christopher Alam here. Okay. Bring Dr. Godot. You're an apostle of the soul. Okay, let's go back. It's in July, I think. I'm going to take the time because some of you don't believe. See, and this is how we operate the way we operate. If the Spirit of God is not telling us to do something, what's the sense in doing it? And so you need to develop a relationship to where you have God in your face directing you instead of you directing God. Okay, start the 12-step program. Okay. Vancouver Hilton, yeah, okay. Dr. Godot, airplanes. That's another thing. He spoke to me about aircraft. He said, "What? Why can't you afford it if I'm paying for it?" I'm paying for it. You ain't paying for it. He said, you just need to pick out, basically what he's saying, you just need to pick out what you like. So I'm testing out airplanes. Okay, specialist at the Northwest, Jesus in the Park. That was 8:23 of this year, 2:38 a.m. Okay, some of y'all snoring. I am gifting you, I'm going to do some stuff to make you mad today. I'm gifting you the piano. He said he's just gifting me the piano. I don't believe it, do you? Didn't matter. Special anointing increase. I'm the. Okay. There's something about Jeff Mitchell. Oh, sorry about that. Okay. I just read it yesterday. Okay, I put my glasses on. I'm going to take the time because some of you, because see, the people that you need to help you are already here waiting to help you. The money you need is already here because he calls it in from the beginning. Here we go. Okay, yeah. Seattle, Tacoma, Dr. Cadell.
How's it coming? Okay. I'm going to have to dig for it. I'm going to have to dig for it somewhere else. I may have made the note somewhere else because I was messing with my stuff yesterday. But I will bring it back to you because I'm, you know, I don't have to do any of this, but I want to be able to do that. Because he spoke to me and said, the musicians are already here before they showed up, and now they're here. Just like he's telling us other stuff. You need to hear what God has to say to you. Now, what am I saying? See, a lot of us don't have a relationship to be able to find out, okay, yeah. Okay, he says, use that example. We're in a situation. I'm believing for a little close to $2 million to pay this building off. We want to be debt-free as a church. Now, the only debt we have is this mortgage. God has already told me this is why we had a program called At Zero. Because the Lord came to me and said, and this is in my prayer notes also from 7 years ago, 8 years ago. He said, I'm already at zero when it comes to your mortgage on this church. I don't know where you are, but that's where I am. And so if God already sees things at zero, why am I to sit here and worry about that? Now, it's not like we ain't paying the payment, but it's just stupid to waste interest money every month. How would you like to have your mortgage at zero? And that's what he said. So if he's at zero, we're trying to catch up with him. We want to get like he is. As he is, so are we in this world. Declaring the end from the beginning. I'm taking time to teach this because I really want to make sure people get a hold of this. God declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. That's what stands. And I will do all my pleasure. Well, God's pleasure, his desire, is in his book. God gave us a book to find out what God's will is. His word is his will. So when we do what God's willing in the book, or what he wills for us to do in the book, we bring pleasure to him. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 6. Because see, just because we hear the word of God, that doesn't bring pleasure to him. Now, what we saw, we're supposed to bring pleasure to him. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please, capitalize him. We're talking about God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That's where most people stop. Oh, I believe there's a God. I believe there's a God. Well, the devils believe also and they tremble. You ain't even trembling. He believed that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We said we're supposed to, in Isaiah, we just saw it should be his pleasure. The pleasure that God has is when you believe what he said in his word and it comes to pass for you. He gets joy when you get stuff, things, changes in your life based on what he said in his word. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So God, you bring pleasure to God when you believe his word, when you not just believe, okay, but without faith, because faith and believing are two different things. And my pastor, Apostle Frederick Casey Price, used a great example that you can be starving to death. And you go into the grocery store and sit right there next to them cinnamon rolls and all them Hawaiian rolls and donuts and all that stuff, and you sit right in the middle of the floor and you say, I believe if I eat these donuts and this food all around me in this grocery store that I'm not going to be hungry no more. You can say that until I believe that if I eat it, it's going to keep me from starving to death. I believe if I eat it.
until you go over there and open up one of them packages and start eating, you're going to starve. Faith is an action. It's not just believing. You can believe that he is. Oh, I got that. Thank you. You can believe that he is, but you need to believe that he's a rewarder. He's not your problem. And some of you think going to church is a problem. People have to pull teeth to get you to come to church. You do everything to avoid church. You know what I'm talking about. You know them folk. But see, we should be knowing that God is a rewarder. Why wouldn't I want to be around someone that's going to take care of me and provide for me and do all kinds of wonder? He don't have to do nothing for you, but he does. Don't believe me? Don't take the next breath. That breath came from him. Mm-hmm. Next heartbeat. You need 2,000 breaths a day. I'm sorry, 20,000 breaths a day. Every one of them come from him. So why sit in a stinky lifestyle? If you got to breathe, at least breathe something that's good. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to him, 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 comes to him. God is not our butler. We can't, come on, God. Where's it at? No, we need to come to him. This is a relationship. And I've been teaching you a relationship is different than a fellowship. A fellowship is just a couple of fellows in the same boat. But a relationship you have with God. Now, going back, I'll take it there next week. Okay, thank you. Going back now to Luke chapter 15 and verse number 17, we've gone a long way around. But I'm trying to teach. Can I have some more time to teach? Just a couple of minutes? Y'all gonna give me a couple of minutes? Yeah, I have about 9 minutes. Okay. It says, when he came to himself. Now, we just said there in Hebrews, he that comes to him. You got to come to the Lord. This is why coming to church is important. Thank God for the electronics and all this other stuff, but you know and I know. You put that stupid live stream on, and some of you are doing it right now. I'm talking right to you. And you done forgot that thing. You walked out of the room. You ain't even listening to that. I've done it. You turn on the live stream. I'm going to be listening to it. And you ain't sitting there attentive listening to that thing. You got too many distractions. Especially if you're listening to it on your phone. All of a sudden, ding. Oh, I got a text. Ding. Oh, there's somebody emailing me. Ooh, I just won $50 from Walmart. So many distractions on that phone. You have to be able to come to him, and you have to really come to him. See, I'm getting to the point where I'm taking the food away from folk. You ain't going to eat, I'm giving it to somebody who's hungry. Ain't no sense in trying to make people eat. Stuff stuff down their throat. If you don't want it, don't eat it. But don't waste the food. Let it go spoil. This is prime rib, cooked to perfection. When we talk about the word of God. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? God is a God of abundance. Until you live with the spare, you ain't living. See, this is what I'm saying. We don't want more. You just want to bump along. Now you say that to me, I'm gonna say amen. Because I'm not living. I lived with the without the spare. I lived from paycheck to paycheck. Rubbing coins together. I don't want to. I lived on the edge of health. I want abundant health. I want to be able to be healthy enough to help somebody else. Not just barely getting along every 5 minutes. Person my age is usually go to the doctor about once or twice a month. You'll see him, 70 years old, I'm 70.
70 years old, they're coming in twice, three times a month. They're on all kinds of medicine. You know what I'm on? Vitamins. God healed my body so much, I don't need nothing. I am on no blood pressure medicine. I ain't on no Thorazine. I'm not on lithium. I ain't on nothing at 70 years old. Now, I come against the enemy that would try to change that in Jesus' name. I bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name, because that ain't changing. Come against the retaliating demons, because as soon as you stand up and say something, the enemy want to slap you upside your head. That's why a lot of us shut up. But you got to learn how to be able to handle him. But see, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Some of us are afraid to even say that about the Lord. Well, God is a God of abundance. You're scared to say it, because you'll get people that don't love God to be attack you. That's what you always talk about, this prosperity stuff. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to heaven with streets made with gold. What are you talking about? They're making a mansion for me up there. Get out of here. And you broke as you can be. You ain't got nothing to say to me. You ain't happy. You're not happy. Why should I listen to you? You ain't got nothing to do with my life. You're sitting there with a shoebox in the sock trying to tell me how to live. You ain't got nothing to say to me. I'm going to follow the word. I ain't thinking about what you're talking about with your funky breath. Did I say that? My wife will deal with it later. She looked at me with like that. Donnie, you shouldn't have said that one. Little curtsy as she said it. But see, God wants us to realize we have a lot. The Spirit of God has told me that for many years. Don, don't you know I've given you a lot? Don, don't you know I've given you a lot? Don, don't you know I've given you a lot? We were being put out of our facility on Pacific Avenue. He would still say, Don, don't you know I've given you a lot? We were being, if somebody bought the property out from under us, Don, don't you know I've given you a lot? Because he speaks the end from the beginning. He saw us in this building when we were worshiping in a school hoping we could build a building. God doesn't speak your circumstances. He speaks faith. And the language you have to learn as you come to a church like this is learn how to talk like faith, not like your circumstances. Because your circumstances most of the time will be ugly. You got to talk what the Word of God says. He came to himself and he realized, look at what he realized. There was abundance. My father's got abundance. This is not about some man's father. This is about God the Father. This is really about God the Father. That we go away from his house not realizing everything we're looking for is in his house. Whatever you're looking for, it's up in here. This is God's house. I have no bedroom here. I don't live here. We only come here to worship God. We do nothing else but worship God in this house, because this is the house of God. When you leave this house, you're going to his house up in heaven. If you live right, you're going to live in his house. Now, there are certain things that we live by in his house. I'm talking family now. First thing, we got to be thankful, because you need to realize what you got. Now, whether you eat it or not is your problem. See, because people want to keep you from receiving the blessing because they don't feel like they need it. You ain't keeping me from nothing. I'm going to enjoy everything God. See, I got to have this kind of attitude, because some of you got an attitude on the other side. And I'm slapping you right upside your head because I see your face. Your little attitude. Well, you think you're all that, huh, Pastor? No, I don't. I think he's all that. And I happen to be part of his family. And you are too if you stop acting stupid. He came to himself. I perish. Not everybody on the planet, but I perish with hunger. Look at the next verse. Come on, we got to get past this, because we got to get to his brother. His brother's worth to him. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, say again, talking. What are you saying to your father? I'm talking about God. I have sinned. First of all, you've got some sin that you need to confess. We all got something we need to talk about. God, forgive me for this. Get that under the blood and move on. I have sinned against heaven and before you. And don't do it every day. You don't have to get up every day. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God says, shut up. I don't even remember what you're talking about. I cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. Do it one time. Get it over with. Move on. He's not like your cousin and all your relatives that keep reminding you every time you have a holiday together. He's not going to remind you of that. Get over it. You made a mistake. You made a sin. You didn't just fall into sin. You jumped. But forgive yourself and move on. I have sinned against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He's lying. Just because you sinned doesn't mean you're disqualified from God. Just because you sin doesn't mean you're kicked out of the family. Your child has a child out of wedlock. You should not kick that child out of the house. You should take care of that child and the child's mother. Kicking them out of the house is not going to solve the problem. The baby's still coming. You love that baby. You take care of that baby. Ain't going to be nothing but a little more milk. You know what I mean? A little bit of oatmeal sometime. You know, fix them some of that baby food. And, you know, yeah, the diapers cost some money, but that's your problem. You shouldn't have done that. You think you ain't gonna pay nothing? But kicking the baby and the girl out the house, or the guy and the girl out the house. Well, first of all, that ain't happening. But kicking the girl out of the house ain't gonna help the situation. You got love on them people. Make me like one of your servants. That's a lie. God's not gonna do that with you. Because this is all about you. You are the prodigal. Or his brother. Continue now. I'm gonna fudge for 30 seconds here. And he arose and came to his father. And when he saw him still a great way off, because the father was always looking. The father's always looking for you. He's looking right now. A long ways off. He's squinting his eyes all day long. Been squinting his eyes. The one thing the father would not do is leave the house, though, because you gotta want to be there. People say to me all the time, Pastor Shorter, so-and-so. You know, you got a lost sheep out there. I said, no, they ain't lost. They know the address. They ain't lost. They're rebellious. They know what a church is. That ain't no lost sheep. That's a rebellious sheep. And the father didn't run after the rebellious sheep. You want to take your rump out there and see if you can make it by yourself without the father? I got two words for you. Good luck. And that ain't spiritual. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Next verse, please, and we're done here. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned. When are we going to really confess that we've messed up sometimes? Have you ever messed up? I know I have. And God, I had to say, God, I messed up. Sometimes you can't get past to the next step until you admit you messed up the last step. Let me give some free marriage counseling. 52 years, I learned some things. You better learn how to say I'm sorry and ask for forgiveness. I mean, you left the toothpaste cap off for the last time. She ain't taking it no more. You done burned his toast for the last doggone time. He ain't putting up with that burnt toast no more. And that's the third day in a row. He ain't taking that no more. You know? So you can hang that up. Put the gas in her car. She needs the gas. Help her out. Struggling with that door, trying to close the door. Some of you men, I got to have you some special training. I'm going to bring a car right up in here to show you how to help your wife in and out of a car. Because you be walking on. You already in Walmart. You're already in Walmart. You're looking at all the stereos and all the stuff in the back. You're looking at all the stuff that you can buy and put in your yard. And she's still out there trying to get out that car. Man, you got to learn some decorum, brother. Get some class. You hear what the sister's saying?
Say it.
Well, that's all I'm saying because I'm out of time.
Did you get something out of this today? Praise God. Say this with me. Say, God, I want to be like you. Help me to declare the end, the victory in the beginning, in Jesus' name. God, help me to be like you, to be able to come to myself, to be able to live with you, and to realize how blessed I am in your presence. God, thank you for inviting me to be with you for eternity in heaven, in Jesus' name. Father, God, thank you for not letting me just be a hired servant, but one of your sons or daughters. Thank you, God. I declare from this point on, I'm speaking differently. I'm speaking faith. That is, come on, say it, that is the end from the beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let's use these principles and change our lives.